This is the Sex and Psychology Podcast, and it's the sex ed you never got in school and won't get anywhere else. I am your host, Dr. Justin Laymiller. I am a social psychologist and research fellow at the Kinsey Institute and author of the book, Tell Me What You Want, The Science of Sexual Desire and How It Can Help You Improve Your Sex Life. If you're a longtime listener of the show, you know that I've done several episodes relating to sex toys. We've talked extensively about how they can help you improve your intimate life, both in terms of solo and partnered sex. We've talked about their long and fascinating history, as well as how they're likely to evolve in the future. But something we haven't fully explored yet is how to choose the toys that are right for you. And this is a very important piece, especially when you consider that there are literally tens of thousands of different toys out there to choose from. In today's show, we're going to talk about where to start when it comes to looking at sex toys and pleasure products, what kinds of toys and materials to look for in terms of optimizing both your health and pleasure, whether it's worth splurging on luxury toys, and so much more. My guest today is Gabrielle Cassell. She is a sex and wellness journalist committed to helping people feel the best they can in their own bodies. Her work has appeared in publications such as Men's Health, Shape, Cosmopolitan, Well and Good, Self, and Women's Health. This is going to be an important and very practical conversation. Stick around, and we're going to jump in right after the break. Mail My Meds is an online service that allows Americans to access prescription and affordable medication delivery services. They allow men experiencing ED to be reviewed for erectile dysfunction medication prescriptions. You can complete your online prescription questionnaire in as little as 3 minutes and get started today. You'll get reviewed by one of their partnering U.S. board-certified physicians and find out if your prescription has been approved in as little as 1 hour. If approved, prescriptions are good for 1 year of refills. All medications are dispensed from USA pharmacies and shipped straight to you in discreet packaging. Mail My Meds offers low pricing and unmatched convenience, and the whole process can be done from the comfort of your own home. To learn more or get started today, visit mailmymeds.com. That's M-A-I-L, my, M-E-D-S.com. Are you passionate about building a career in sexuality? Look no further than the Sexual Health Alliance. With SHA, you'll connect with world-class experts and join an engaged community of sexuality professionals from all around the world. Whether you're just beginning your journey or are in the process of building advanced skills, SHA's comprehensive certifications, engaging events, and self-paced online training will move you beyond the basics and set you up to be a rising star in the field. Visit sexualhealthalliance.com and start building the sexuality career of your dreams today. Hi, Gabrielle, and welcome to the Sex and Psychology Podcast.
Yay! Thank you so much for having me, Justin.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation. So you've made a career of mostly writing about sexual health and wellness. So let me begin by asking you how you became a sex writer in the first place. I mean, of all the things you could cover as a writer, why sex?
So I actually majored in queer studies and English in college. And so a lot of the papers that I was writing in an academic setting were on queer sex. So when I graduated college and I went on and I had my first internship at Women's Health magazine, I was really passionate about covering things in the queer sex realm. So back in 2016, that looked like wanting to cover things about fertility, how to know if you were gay, what it meant if you wanted to kiss another girl. And as the field evolved, and essentially Google evolved, I was able to cover sexual health topics to a greater degree. So back in like 2017, Google essentially said to these health companies, hey, we no longer want to prioritize porn when people are searching for things like lesbian sex or anal sex or girls on girls. And so for the first time, these publications really had a reason to write articles that were on those topics. Because prior to Google making that switch, these publications more or less thought, well, why are we going to publish articles that we know only 10% of the population is going to read, assuming at the time that the percentage of folks who were LGBTQ was about 10%. And so for them, this was a really awesome opportunity to, one, get more traffic to their site, and in turn, for me to finally get a chance to write about the queer sexual health topics I've been wanting to write about professionally. So since then, this has just kind of become my niche, in part because I had experience writing about it in college, and in part because of the luck and timing of Google making the switch.
Thanks for sharing that. And you know, that's something I hadn't really thought a lot about, but Google does have big implications for what kind of information and content people are producing. And if they decide to deprioritize certain content, that means other content is going to make it up. And so that creates opportunities. And so you're right that it has kind of been this boon for writing about sexual health and wellness, and why a lot of publications have seemed to jump on that bandwagon in recent years. So in this episode, we're going to cover the All You Need to Know Guide to Buying Sex Toys and Pleasure Aids, because you've written extensively about this and you've even taught workshops on it. And I want to start with something which I think some people might find to be a little bit counterintuitive, which is that you say that the best first sex toy someone should get is lube. So why do you say that? And why is lube a great starting place for exploring toys?
So generally, I love pleasure products. I think they give people access to a specific type of pleasure, a specific kind of sensation, and a specific type of sex that they might not otherwise have access to. And so when I say, you know, this is the best for a sex toy, what I'm really saying to folks is, hey, I want to make sex toys as accessible as possible to you. In my opinion, lubricant, which isn't typically considered a sex toy so much as a pleasure aid, is the best starter product. And that's because, one, lubricant mirrors a lot of the substances that folks are familiar with in the bedroom, right? It is very similar in consistency to that of ejaculate or vaginal lubrication, spit, saliva. And so it doesn't necessarily feel as foreign as something like a silicone dildo or a metal wand or nipple clamps. And so I think just the fact that there is this mirroring between the store-bought product and the body fluids that the body likely already produces helps make it feel accessible. Beyond that, it has this tremendous potential to make sex feel more pleasurable, right? Whether you're having solo sex, partnered sex, multi-partnered sex, the friction of skin on skin or sex toy on skin, no matter the material of the sex toy, can create a tremendous amount of friction. And sure, some friction is good, right? That's part of why dry humping can be so pleasurable. But if that friction goes up too much, it can be downright painful, right? It feels a bit like a rug burn. Adding in a little bit of store-bought lubricant helps decrease that unwanted friction and helps increase the pleasurable slide and glide that we can experience, whether it's our own hand on our own genitals, our hand on someone else's genitals, genitals and genitals, fingers in a hole, and so much more.
So baby steps to nipple clamps and whips and chains, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Start with the lube. Okay, so lube is one of those things where there are hundreds, if not thousands of different products on the market to choose from. And so it can kind of be overwhelming. So for example, just before this show, I went onto Amazon, I searched for personal lubricant, and more than 1,000 hits came up. And when you have that many choices, the psychologist in me says that a lot of people are probably going to make their decisions on what to get in the same way that they decide what bottle of wine to get when they're at the store, you know, where they're disproportionately going to focus on things like the name and the label and the packaging, as opposed to what's actually in the bottle. I mean, I know I'm guilty of that when I buy wine, because for sure, there's so many options when they're there at the store, but it's the same thing with lube. But just because the name is cute or the bottle looks good doesn't mean that you're actually going to like what's inside it or that it's going to meet your needs. So can you give us the breakdown on the kinds of things people should be looking for when it comes to buying lube and finding one that's going to work for them?
Yeah, I'm going to make it simple for folks right off the start. And we will get into the different types of lube because there are many, to your point. But for first timers, I recommend a water-based lubricant. And not just any water-based lubricant, but a water-based lubricant that is totally free from glycerin, which is essentially sugar, and alcohol. Sugar can disrupt the internal vaginal and anal microbiomes, or the bacteria that's in there, and alcohol can dry everything up or have the opposite effect of the lubricant, which you're intending. So to keep it simple, what should you get? For starters, a water-based lubricant that's free of those two ingredients. Now, to get more into specifics, there are tons of different types of lubricants on the market. There's water-based lubes, as I named, There's silicone-based lubes, there's oil-based lubes, and then there are hybrid products that have a little bit of all of those in them. Now, there are different benefits to each of them, and we can get into those. They tend to be beneficial for different things. So water-based lube is kind of the universal lube. It can be used with latex barriers. It can be used with condoms of all materials. It can be used with sex toys, including silicone sex toys. And that is actually not the case for silicone and oil-based lubricants. In terms of silicone-based lubricants, silicone is a material that sticks to itself. So if you have a silicone sex toy, and many body-safe sex toys are made of silicone, it kind of has a skin-like feel to it, that silicone lubricant can stick to the silicone sex toy and actually warp its shape. So whether you're spending $20 on a sex toy or $200 on a silicone sex toy, this is obviously suboptimal, right? You don't want to warp your sex toy when you are in the process of trying to receive pleasure from it or with it. In terms of oil-based lubricants, what's great about these products is they absorb into the body less quickly and readily than a water-based lubricant, right? The downside of a water-based lubricant is because the body is very familiar with water as a substance, it gulps it up. And that can require us to have to reapply it more readily than we would have to with a product like oil. The issue with oil-based lubricants is that oil and latex are not compatible. The oil literally will degrade the latex. So if you're using something like a dental dam, latex condoms, or even latex panties, that oil-based lubricant can cause microscopic little tears and holes and perforations in the latex, even if you can't see them, that make them less effective at preventing against unwanted STI transmission and pregnancy.
So there's a lot of things going on here, right?
Sure.
So you got to think about, so what is the lube itself made of and how is that likely to interact with my own body, mm-hmm. right? So I think it's always a good idea if you get a new lube to try a little bit of it on your skin first before you get into like putting things inside of your body, because sometimes we might develop allergic reactions to things. And you don't always know with lubricants because it's not a heavily regulated market. So in fact, most lubricants that you're going to see advertised are regulated as cosmetics. And so they're not held to the same standard as something that would be, say, a medical product. And so if you want something that's held to a higher standard of testing, then you might look for something that's been FDA cleared or FDA approved. Most lubes don't have that, but you'll be able to see that on the packaging for the lubes that do. So, you know, you need to know something about your own body. You need to test it out a little bit first to make sure that it's going to be compatible with your body, but then also compatible with the way you're going to use it. So you mentioned a lot of things about what the toy itself is made of, or if you're using condoms or other safe sex tools. And, you know, a lot of people will put condoms on, say, a dildo when they're using it because it makes for easier cleanup. And so, you know, that's something else you have to think about and take into account with all of this. So, you know, it is kind of this complicated decision, but it's worth doing the research when it comes to choosing the right lube and not just going for the one that has the, you know, nicest packaging, right?
That's a great comment. In terms of questions folks might ask themselves when trying to figure out, hey, is this the best lube for me? Start by asking yourself, how am I going to use the lubricant, right? If you're going to primarily be using it with a dildo without a condom on top, you probably want to avoid silicone. Meanwhile, if you're primarily going to be using it when you're having partnered condom sex, you probably want to avoid an oil-based lube. Next, ask yourself, do I have any food allergies? Someone who's allergic to coconut, for example, is absolutely going to want to avoid a coconut oil-based lubricant. Right? I can't tell you how many times I've had a friend call me and be like, my vulva is absolutely blown up. And I'm like, well, what's in the lubricant? And it's almond. Oh, you have an allergy. That makes sense, right? You want to avoid putting something in your vulva that you, if you ingested it orally, would have an allergic reaction to. And then next, you want to avoid those ingredients like glycerins and alcohols.
Yeah. And so that's something else to think about here is that a lot of lubes might be advertised as being all natural or organic, but just because it carries those labels doesn't mean that it's going to be good for your specific body. You still need to know the ingredients, that are going to be in it. And something else I wanted to add to this that's worth thinking about is the way the lube itself is actually dispensed from the container, right? I think many people can relate to the experience of, okay, it's time to reapply more lube and you go to grab the bottle and you can't get the cap open. Or, you know, if it's a pour top, you know, way too much spills out and then you just got lube everywhere or it's on the floor, right? And so different lubes actually have very different mechanisms of dispensing it. You know, some will pour out, some will have a pump. And in fact, some actually have a spray. And some of these things you can do one-handed, some it's going to take both hands. And so it's also worth thinking about how you're going to use it. And if you have, say, any dexterity or other issues that might kind of get in the way of using certain types of lubes, because sometimes the packaging itself is actually the most frustrating part of lube, is because it's actually hard to get out, because when you're ready to go, you're like ready to go. And if it adds like this layer of frustration, like that's a whole other issue.
I've also been seeing a bunch of lubricants recently that come in a tub, almost like that of margarine or butter. And while I think that can be a good option for folks who have hand immobility issues, generally I recommend against that because it can increase the likelihood of bacteria growth and transmission because your sex-covered hands are going right in the tub where the lubricant is.
Yeah, so lube is not lube. Lots of things to think about there and consider. Now, moving on from lube, toys themselves are a whole other world, and the choices are even more overwhelming. So for example, I also went to Amazon before this show, and I searched for sex toy, and I got more than 30,000 hits. Wow. And I know I've mentioned Amazon a few times here, but I should say, be cautious when buying sexual health and wellness products from Amazon, because while it might be convenient and you might get your Prime shipping, you don't always know what you're getting, especially if it's coming from a third-party seller. Like, look who is actually selling it. Is this order fulfilled by Amazon or is it fulfilled by Frank's Warehouse? And, you know, no offense if Frank's Warehouse is like really a thing, but do they actually make their own sex toys? And like, what is their reputation in this market and so forth? You know, just be wary when you're buying from the big marketplaces. I think you can have more confidence in what you're buying if you buy direct from the company that actually manufactures the product. But that's it. You know, just as is the case with lubes, toys are made from a variety of materials too. So before we even get into specific kinds of toys, give us the breakdown of, you know, what are some of the different materials that toys might be made of and what should you be looking for, especially if you're a beginner?
So let's start super high level. There are a bunch of different materials that sex toys are made out of, and I'm going to divide them into two categories. We have porous toys and non-porous toys. So porous is a word that essentially means that there's tiny microscopic little holes. Non-porous means that there is no tiny microscopic little holes. When you are searching for a body-safe sex toy, you want to opt for material that is non-porous. That's because the sex toy is likely going in and around your intimate bits and parts. And so you don't want any holes in that sex toy, because the bacteria, the naturally occurring bacteria of your body and in your body fluids, can clog those microscopic tiny holes and increase your risk of infection, irritation, or discomfort when you're using the sex toy down the line. So in terms of what non-porous sex toy materials might be, there are four big ones. There's silicone, there's glass, there's stainless steel, and then there's a plastic called ABS plastic. Now, there are benefits, pros and cons to all four, and ultimately which you choose is going to depend on your personal preference. Silicone is the most skin-like, right? It's somewhat fleshy, it has some give, it feels the most like a hand or a penis or another body part which a person might have interest in. Glass, stainless steel, and ABS plastic are all quite hard. Now, that might not sound enjoyable, but for folks who enjoy a lot of pressure on their genitals or the other parts of their body they are stimulating with the sex toy, that can feel really good. It's a lot easier to apply the feel-good pressure of an ABS plastic toy against your genitals than that of a silicone toy. So folks, for example, who masturbate face down, especially vulva owners, tend to do that because it enables them to really apply pressure to their erogenous zones. And so those might be folks who might prefer a harder material. Now, Within those categories of harder materials, there are pros and cons of between stainless, glass, and ABS plastic. Now, stainless steel is the heaviest of the three. I mean, it just has an absolute heft. That means it is like the daddy material for applying pressure to your genitals. So for folks who are really seeking a pleasure product that is going to stimulate a part of their body that they know likes pressure or that they think could like pressure, like the prostate or the G-zone, stainless steel can be a fabulous choice. Another benefit of stainless steel, I love stainless steel products. I'm kind of like, I'm in the market of like convincing folks, try stainless steel wand, is that is incredibly conductive of both cold and of heat, which means that you can use it to explore temperature play, which is essentially a type of sensation play that uses temperature, cold or hot, to wake up your nerves to the sensations that you're experiencing.
Yeah, so lots of different materials and they can be used in different ways. And again, the same questions that you would ask yourself with lube, you're going to want to ask yourself with toys, like, how am I going to be using this? And what do I think would feel good for my body? And, you know, if you're talking about a toy that's made of silicone and it's going to be inserted, having something that has a little bit of give to it can be a lot more pleasurable and comfortable if you're new or like a first-time user, as opposed to something that's going to be very hard and firm and doesn't have any give to it whatsoever, right? So there's a lot to think about there with just the material itself of the toys. And you also want to be looking for something that's marketed or labeled as being body safe, because again, you can have potential skin reactions from certain materials that toys are made of. So again, you got to know what your allergies are. And you want to see for products that are being advertised, whether it's a toy or a lube, what are the ingredients? What is this made of? That's important for you to know. And if they're not telling you anything about it, that's probably a red flag, right?
Absolutely.
Now, getting into specific kinds of toys, you know, within each category, oh my God, there's a ton of variety. So let's say you want a vibrator. Well, what kind of vibrator is best for you? You know, you've got the wands, you have the bullets, there are the rabbits, you've got the hands-free vibrators that you can insert into the vagina and they're going to stay in place. You've got vibrators you can attach to the tip of your finger. You've got vibrators you can hold in the palm of your hand, right? So there's so many different options there. So tell us a little bit about what to look for specifically in a vibrator. And do you have any favorites you'd recommend for either someone who's just beginning or maybe just wants to try something new and different?
So typically when folks are buying sex toys, they have one of two objectives in mind. Objective one is to find a sex toy that does a sensation they already know they like. And objective two is to try a sensation they think they might like. So ultimately, which you choose is going to depend on which of the two categories you're in, as well as what that specific sensation is. So for folks who know they like external stimulation, so on the vulva or on the penis, and they're looking for a vibrator, for example, that can stimulate those external hotspots, I recommend going for a wand. A wand is very easy to use. It has a long handle and then a bulbous head, much like a microphone. And that long handle allows you to easily reach really anywhere in your body you could want, assuming you have the ability to move your arms in that way. You can apply lots of different pressure. Wand vibrators tend to have larger motors because the toy itself is slightly bigger, which means that there's more intensity and vibration range, which means you can usually get like very low intensity and see how that feels, as well as very high intensity and see how that feels. And on top of that, it doesn't look like a body part, which can be really soothing for some folks who either are still struggling with the stigma that sex toys are replacements for partners, or that sex toys do it better than you do or your partner does. Both of those myths are myths and not true. For folks who don't like the particular size or shape of a wand vibrator, there's a type of sex toy known as palm vibrators, which essentially look like computer mice. And these toys function very similarly to wand vibrators in that they can apply vibration externally, but they don't have the long handle, tend to be about a third of the size, and therefore are less obtrusive to solo partnered or multi-partnered play than a wand vibrator might be. Now, that's external play. There's also internal play. So with internal play, the big thing to keep in mind is that if it's going in your butt, it needs to have a flared base. The vagina has an anatomical stopping point known as the cervix. That means something can only go so far inside the vaginal canal before the body says, stop sign. The anal canal does not have that. The anal canal keeps going and going and going all the way up to your digestive tract. A flared base is a shape, usually a T-shape, sometimes a ring, sometimes a curve or crook, that keeps the sex toy rooted firmly outside of the body. And you want that because you don't want the sex toy to travel inside your anal canal, right? You want to keep it firmly rooted outside, even if the toy is designed to help you explore internal anal stimulation.
Yeah, the flared base is super important because I've seen the data. Actually, the single most common sex toy injury that happens that sends people to the emergency room is having a toy that goes too far up the butt that becomes irretrievable, and it requires a surgeon to take it out, oftentimes in the middle of the night while you're in the ER. And so to avoid that issue, just get something with a flared base because you don't want things to go up there too far. So yeah, there's a lot to think about here when it comes to vibrators. You know, do you want it on the external portion of the body or do you want it inside? How big do you want it to be? Do you want it to be a power tool, like, or do you just prefer a lighter sensation? I think generally it's probably a good idea to get something as a starting point that's going to have a variety of sensations so that you can start low and kind of move up. Because sometimes people will get a toy and it's just too intense and they can't use it. And so you don't want to waste your money. So I think it's better to get something that's going to have some variation in the speed and vibration pattern so that you can really customize it for your body.
I also recommend folks think about whether or not they find the sex toy pretty or attractive, or if they feel drawn to it in some type of way. Because the truth is if you don't like the way your sex toy looks, you're probably not going to reach for it when you're in a highly aroused state or you're trying to get there. You know, it really is going to make a difference as to how much you use it if you like the way it looks.
Yeah. And you know, one of the perks of having sex toys that look good is that you can also use them to decorate, or you can leave them out on your nightstand. I have sex toys all over my house, but that's in part because I just have way too many of them. I get companies that ship them to me all the time. And so if you open any random drawer in my house, you're going to find sex toys, and I'm just out of drawer space. So I've taken to decorating with them. That's and some awesome. Of them are actually quite pretty.
Yes. Yes. They're like family heirlooms, except different.
Yes, so someday we'll be passing them down across generations. Now, getting into some of the other specific kinds of toys, right? So we talked a bit about vibrators. Let's talk about some toys that are designed specifically for the penis. So there are lots of toys you might consider. You've got the pumps, you've got the cock rings, and you've got the masturbation sleeves and more. But let's focus on the sleeves because that seems to be the direction that a lot of the new penis toys have been going for quite some time. So what are some of the things to look for in a sleeve, whether you're buying it for yourself or buying it for a partner?
Sleeves are essentially sheaths that are designed to go over the penis and usually be used manually to go up and down with your hand to sort of aid in solo sex or a solo hand job or something of the sort. But there are also masturbation sleeves these days that do that work for you. So you essentially slide the sleeve over your penis and then you press a button and it gets to work doing the work of the hand job or the solo touch for you. So I think the first question is, one, how do I feel about vibration? Do I like the sensation that motorized toys provide? If you have experience with that, you will know the answer to that. And if not, then you may not, but can get a sense based on what type of intensity you like. If you want a toy that vibrates, you're going to want to opt for something like that. Otherwise, I recommend starting with a basic sleeve. These sleeves come with a variety of different textures, some numbed, some lined, some ribbed, some numbed or lined in a way that's designed to mirror a vaginal canal or an anal canal or a mouth. Combined with a lubricant, right? The store-bought lubricants that we mentioned, these can really give you the sensation of partnered play or offer just a different sensation than your hand might be able to.
Yeah. So with sleeves, just as it's the case with vibrators, like there's a ton of them on the market. They're all designed to try and create different kinds of sensations. And I think it's often a good idea if you're going to go the route of sleeves, if you can get something that has a replaceable sleeve where you can try a couple of different things, that can be a way of being able to save a little bit of money. So you don't have to buy a whole bunch of different ones, but you can have like one canister or container that you use that you can have for this replaceable sleeve. And then you can get different sensations at the time that you want it. And again, you know, this is one of those things where the toys might be made of different things. And so you got to consider what that's made of and then what kind of lube is going to be appropriate to use with that. But in general, water-based lubes are going to be your best bet with masturbation sleeves.
And there's really, I mean, there are masturbation sleeves that are available for, you know, one and done use that are $5. And then there are these like hyper sex machine-esque masturbation sleeves that are going to be $200 plus. So if you are brand new to sex toys at all, I say start with the $5 option or the less expensive option and just see what you like, right? Because even that $5 less expensive option is going to give you intel about what feels good to your body.
That's true. And, you know, some of the, I guess, disposable or one-time use toys, you know, they're also designed for different kinds of purposes. Some can target stimulation of just the head of the penis. So if you have what's called an egg toy, right, that just does the tip. And then you've got toys that go the entire length of the shaft, right? So you can also explore some different things there without having to go balls deep in terms of financial commitment, if you will, right? But yeah, I think there's some good advice there. Now, we've talked a bit about vibrators, penis toys. You also mentioned anal toys and, you know, talked a little bit about some of the vibrators there. But I wanted to talk about anal toys just a little bit more because there's so many different options, right? So you can get a dildo or a vibrator, but you can also get just the standard butt plug. You can get anal beads. What are some of the things to think about there when it comes to anal toys?
So there's so many different kinds of anal toys on the market, and they all are designed to do something slightly different. So figuring out which is for you is going to depend on both your experience level with anal play, period, and also the specific type of sensation that you are interested. So let's kind of run down the line, talking a little bit about what each of them do, and then we'll talk about how to decide which is best for you. So let's start with butt plugs. Butt plugs are carrot-shaped toys that essentially go in your ass and stay in your ass. And these toys are designed to basically create a sensation of fullness. Once you plop them in, they can kind of create a pleasurable sensation of full to the anal behind. And generally, they are used to add sensation to other types of sensation that are already happening. So someone might wear it when they are receiving vaginal penetration, when they are providing vaginal penetration, they might wear it when they are masturbating, they might wear it out and about at a sex party, you know, things like that. Then there are anal beads. Anal beads go in your ass, but they are generally used to go in and come out and go in and come out. Anal beads have these bead-like shapes that are essentially like kind of a kinky pearl necklace, right? That's been snipped down the middle. Every time the anal opening has to open slightly thicker to accept the widest girth of the bead, there's a pleasurable popping feeling that happens, right? And slowly, slowly you put bead after bead. These beads can be anywhere from 3. I've seen some that have as many as 9 beads, and you go as deep as feels good. The thing that really feels good with anal beads beyond putting them in is taking them out. Folks report that when they pull a string of anal beads out, bead by bead by bead, there is a pleasurable release that happens when the anal sphincter, the anal opening, accepts and releases. And so a lot of folks report that pulling a string of anal beads out of their ass when they are in the midst of orgasm or close to it can either intensify that feeling of fireworks or even be the thing that sets it off in the first place.
Anal beads, fireworks. There we go.
Exactly. Next up, we have prostate massagers. And there are so many different types of prostate massagers on the market. One type is a prostate plug, which is essentially a butt plug, that carrot-shaped toy that goes in and stays in. But what's slightly different about a butt plug compared to a prostate plug or prostate massager is that prostate massagers have a slightly different shape. So while butt plugs, like I said, tend to have kind of a triangular carrot-like shape, prostate massagers tend to be curved a little bit like, gosh, what's a good, maybe like a claw would be a good, you know, description of the shape. And they have generally a bulbous tip. That's because the prostate is inside the body, inside the anal canal of most people who are assigned male at birth or who are born with penises. It's inside the anal canal and a few inches in and then curved to the side. And so for these folks, the curved shape of the prostate plug can access that pleasure point more likely than a butt plug could.
Yeah. So again, it's about how do you want to use it? And you got all these different toys and options that are out there. Was there something else you wanted to say about anal toys?
Yeah, there's one more I think we should chat about, which is dildos. And dildos are essentially toys that they're like anal beads in the sense that they're designed to go in and come out and go in and come out and go and come out, but they don't usually have that bead-like shape, which means that there is less friction and can generally go in and come out at a faster speed. So for folks who are interested in pegging play, for example, which is the use of a strap-on harness and a dildo to put the dildo inside the butt and kind of replicate anal intercourse, you want to make sure that the dildo is anal safe because not all dildos are.
Thanks for sharing all of that. Now, I have one more question for you on sex toys when it comes to thinking about what to get, which is that, you know, as there's variety in materials and shapes and sizes and different toys, there's also a huge range in pricing, right? You can spend as little or as much as you want. And you can even buy gold-plated sex toys for thousands of dollars if your heart desires. But a question people often have is whether buying the premium toys is worth the money. So if you spend more on a toy, what are some of the things you're likely to get compared to if you have a smaller budget?
So it's a great question. Is a luxury sex toy worth it? For beginners, my answer tends to be no. You don't yet know, usually, enough about what you like sexually to pick the specific luxury sex toy that you were going to get the most pleasure out of. So what I recommend is until you really have a sense of what you like, stick to the sex toys that are under $50. There's no reason to be paying $200 plus for pieces, especially if you don't really have a sense that that is going to be an amazing experience for you. Now, once you know what you like, that's the point when I think investing in a luxury sex toy can be worth it, because then you know that the sex toy is built to do something that you already know you like having done. In terms of why the luxury sex toy as opposed to maybe the less expensive option, generally they have a more luxurious or silky feel. You can often feel a difference in your hand alone. They generally have a wider range of intensity levels and vibration. Vibration can be described as buzzy, which can be kind of like a low intensity like hum that some folks describe as irritating. But they can also have rumbly vibrations, which are like hardier and tend to penetrate deeper into the skin and into the erogenous zones and nerves. And luxury sex toys tend to be a little bit more rumbly. They also often come with a travel lock, which means that they won't go off in your luggage if you're traveling to a long distance lover. They usually come with some kind of carrying case. They normally have longer battery life or charge life so that you don't have to recharge them as often. And often they come with a warranty as well. You know, to be honest, I don't think it's that common for sex toys to break regardless of luxury or not. I mean, in my experience, you can get 2 to 3 plus years of lifespan with a sex toy, depending on how long you use it. But it is a nice concept that these luxury sex toys have a warranty.
Yeah. I will say cheaper sex toys, if they're like the really cheap kind, can sometimes fall apart. So for example, you know, over the holidays last year, I went to a Naughty Santa gift exchange.
Oh, fun.
Of course, like there's a lot of sex toys that are given away. And there was one really cheap, like BDSM set that was in there and, you know, it was like bejeweled. And let's just say by the end of the party, like it lost all the jewels, right? So it was not a very sturdy paddle, right? It couldn't even stand up to one Naughty Santa party. Right. So, you know, sometimes cheaper is not the way to go with things. And, you know, one of the benefits of some of these luxury toys is also that they're more technologically connected. So if you want features like Bluetooth enabled toys where you can control it from your phone or your partner can control it, or you can sync it to music, like you just have a lot more options there in terms of things you can do. So it can be worth it, especially if it's like a special occasion thing, or you know that you really like this kind of toy and you just want to add some new and extra features to it. So, you know, I think there are toys out there for every budget. I do think on some level, it's true that you get what you pay for, mm-hmm. right? So if you go way too cheap, you might find that it's just not a very good toy, especially if it's like something sold by some third party random place through Amazon, right? You don't know what you're necessarily getting. So again, with all this stuff, just do your research.
Yeah, great comment.
Well, thank you so much for this, Gabrielle. I'm really looking forward to our next conversation where we're going to talk all about the Guide to Good Casual Sex.
Awesome. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you so much for this amazing conversation, Gabrielle. It was truly a pleasure to have you here. Can you please tell my listeners where they can go to learn more about you and your work?
Yeah, I am at Gabrielle Cassell on all social platforms. I am most active on Instagram, and you can also find my work at GabrielleCassell.com. And keep an eye out for my byline. I'm published all over the internet on brands like Women's Health, Cosmopolitan, Well and Good, Men's Health, and so on. So would love for you to give my work your eyes.
Well, thanks again for your time, and I'll be sure to include links to your work in the show notes.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you for listening. To keep up with new episodes of this podcast, visit my website, Sex and Psychology, at sexandpsychology.com, or subscribe on your favorite platform, where I hope you'll take a moment to rate and review the show. You can also follow me on the socials for daily sex research updates. I'm on Twitter and TikTok at Justin Lehmiller and Instagram at Justin J. Lehmiller. Also, be sure to check out my book, Tell Me What You Want. And if you have a question you'd like me to answer on a future episode of this show, you can leave me a podcast voicemail at speakpipe.com/sexandpsychology. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.